In a world drowning in noise, where truth is often buried beneath layers of propaganda and misinformation, there's a need for a different kind of a network. A network of creators that cuts through the clutter, that doesn't shy away from tough topics, and that delivers the unfiltered truth. We are Trim Radio Network. We are creators. We are innovators. We are investigators. We're the ones who aren't afraid to call a spade. If you're ready to participate in thought-provoking discussions, informational topics, and of course today's biggest headlines, subscribe to our YouTube channel today. We're Trim Radio Network. We're cutting the bull and serving the truth.
Welcome to Revelation, where prophecy meets science. Join host Peter Kling, the Einstein of biblical prophecy, as he uncovers ancient truths with modern insight. Prepare to see the world in a whole new light. And now your host, Peter Kling.
Well, thank you very much. And thank you, everyone who's joined us tonight. You are so much appreciated, and you are among the most intelligent people on the planet. It's a big statement, and I hope this channel grows and grows and grows, and I hope you all help spread the word, because you're not going to find information like this anywhere, or little bits and pieces of it. And knowing how to apply biblical prophecy into actually what we have going on this planet, very few people have that ability. Very few people. And this has been my life's work from a very early age until where we are now. I can honestly say I was born for this day and time. And so I was given the knowledge and a lot of experiences that most normal people don't have. And with that, we're going to just do a quick review. And again, thank you for joining us and indulging me as we go through this process. But where we are, we've been covering these beasts. And where does it all start out? With a war in heaven. A war in the cosmos, a war in the universe. And it's a satanic organization represented by a fiery colored dragon, which does battle with who will become the king, or who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, not will become, but who is. That's a whole nother show, but we're talking about Michael and his angels. And as the scripture said, hey, down to the earth they were cast. And so that happened approximately a little over 100 years ago, just around the turn of the century, leading up to World War One, where we have the second beast. And we put pictures, I believe it's on last week's show, so if you go back in the archive, you can see the pictures. But it's a seven-headed, ten-horned wild beast, which comes out of this sea of turmoil. Comes out of the ocean, comes out of the sea. And it's a composite beast. Heads of a lion, body of a leopard, paws of a tiger. Paws of a bear. And it's got these seven heads and ten horns. And we learned that the seven heads represent worldwide governments since time and antiquity. Well, actually, since Egypt, Assyria, Babylonia, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and the United States and America do world power. And guess what? We still are the colonies. And if I remember later on, I'll explain that. We still are the colonies. It goes back to the Virginia Compact. And so Great Britain owns us. Hello, King Trump. Great Britain owns the United States, and we are part of the Commonwealth. Legally, or at least we were, and that is in process of change, and that is taking down the what we're going to learn as the eighth world, as the seventh world power. That is going to be taking down the seventh world power. So guess what? The seven heads are going to be done. They will go into history as we get an eighth world power. And the final beast that we're going to cover tonight in this these beast governments will be, for now anyway, will be the Eighth King, the Eighth Scarlet, the Eighth Ruling Scarlet Colored Ten-Horned Seven-Headed Wild Beast. And this is a very interesting beast. But what's more interesting about this beast is who is behind it. And this opens up a whole new set of shows coming down the pike. So you're going to want to stay tuned for tune in for this. These are all future, past events. Past equals future. Future equals past. The gods have turned into what we would consider aliens. And that's where we are today, essentially. And we're going to get into this scarlet-colored wild beast, this seven-headed, ten-horned beast. And it's interesting. It's pointed out that it's got this scarlet color. Scarlet was a color reserved for royalty. Think about that. Basically, you had to be royalty to use the color scarlet or associated with royalty. And so as we look at this beast, we're going to look at it from a slightly different angle. Remember, the seven-headed, ten-horned wild beast, which ascends out of the sea, that composite beast, that is a governmental beast. And I'll give you a real good example of that. You've got the crown heads of Europe, which the church installed, by the way. The crown heads of Europe are essentially the ruling class, but they own the property. They own the building, okay? And what they do is they basically lease out the land, because it's their kingdom, to what used to be serfs, or used to be the knights and the serfs, or the governors and the congress people, or vice versa. And they were going to set up businesses and so forth and so on. And so that's the governmental agency. But the royalty is always the royalty. Back during World War II, the royalty really didn't get involved, at least not a whole lot, as the nations destroyed each other. Think about that. How badly was the royal class hurt during World War II? Now, it was hurt pretty badly in World War I as far as the Romanov family went. And that was something that was started, which would formulate and foment this wild beast which ascends out of the sea. As we discussed back then, a lot had to do with the Rothschild and banking takeover of Europe. So it all comes together. There's a deeper study there too. But before we can get into this scarlet-colored wild beast, which signifies royalty, and royalty since time, since Egypt, basically, hence the seven heads, we have to look at how this composite beast comes about. And to really get to understand that, we're going to go back and we're going to cover Revelation 9. And it all has to do with something that everybody knows about who's done any research into this. I'm going to just go ahead and start that, because this is a result of when war breaks out in heaven. And it's also part of the trumpet blasts, which are announcements, okay? And it says, And I saw a star that had fallen from heaven to the earth, and the key of the pit of the abyss was given him. There's a lot of that. There's among Bible scholars, they say, well, if the star had the key of the pit of the abyss, then it had to be Jesus. Well, Jesus wouldn't have fallen from heaven. There's the other half to say, oh no, it had to be Satan. But how could Satan control? Because he's the ruler of the abyss. No, wrong again. Wrong again. Go back to Revelation chapter 12. The dragon drags a third of the stars. The stars are very powerful entities. They're very powerful alien beings. Extremely powerful. And one of them was given the key to the pit of the abyss. Now, the one who gave the key was most likely Michael or Jesus, Yeshua, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We don't know that name yet. That's yet in the future to come. But what happens? What is this key to the pit of the abyss? Well, who was in the abyss? We have to go to the book of Enoch, which really gets into it. It's no wonder it was removed from most Bibles. But the book of Enoch goes into great detail about the watchers, and as Genesis calls them, the sons of the true God. But they get a little bit more specific in the book of Enoch as the watchers, and because they did what they did, they left their post, they came to earth, they fathered a hybrid race of human alien beings, alien human beings, and they were hybrid, and so they couldn't reproduce. But because they had left their post, they were thrown into the pit of the abyss, as brought out, I believe there's reference made to that in both Peter and Jude. I know definitely Peter, where he talks about Tartarus, the pit of the abyss. And to give an idea what it's most likely about, it would be outside of our 10-dimensional multiverse. It would be a dimension unto itself, where these people or these entities would be thrown into, because they wouldn't know much about what was going on here on the earth. Now, it took time for the technology to come about in order to open to turn that key, to use that key to open the abyss. And that technology is the Large Hadron Collider, CERN. CERN. And remember the movie 2012? And there was so much talk about 2012 because it was the end of the Mayan calendar, and it was the end of the Long Baktun. And so now we're going to start another progression into the future, into the next development of mankind. Well, yeah, that was pretty close. It wasn't 1221, but it was, interestingly enough, 1216-2013. They forgot to carry the zero. I don't know what to say. Or they carried a zero. But it was it was the next year. What do you mean? Well, if you go back to go to AI. AI could probably find it the fastest. And you ask AI, what was the significance of the date of 12/16/2013? And see what AI comes up with, because I'll tell you what was supposed to happen. In 2013, or, well, first, CERN, let's go back to CERN first. CERN, the scientists at CERN were looking for the God particle, the big Hostman particle. It was actually three scientists, two scientists and an assistant, basically, who was also very well educated, but I guess you could only have two sharing. But anyway, they found the God particles. Now, before they found the God particle, Stephen Hawking realized what they were going after, and Stephen was very concerned that they might create some sort of a black hole should they achieve their goal. The interesting thing, too, is that CERN adopted the god Shiva, the destroying angel, the destroyer, as their mascot. And when they were, I can only make reference to the interview, but when they were questioned, well, aren't you concerned about causing a cataclysmic event which could end the future of the Earth? And they would basically, that is what it is. We're going to try it anyway. And so what they actually did, and this makes perfect sense, what they actually did was find antimatter, the God particle, the energy that is in, and think about this, that they're colliding two atoms together. So we're now subatomic. And they find finally this one little tiny particle, which is pure antimatter. And it didn't suck up the machine of the universe. But boy, if antimatter comes into place with matter, it will just destroy it, completely destroy it. A little war in heaven. We're dealing with entities that can, with what we're facing in the future, we are definitely dealing with entities, and we'll get into this at a later time, but we're dealing with entities who can control antimatter. How do you stand up against something that controls antimatter? Poof, you're gone. Gone, out of existence. Think about that. Matter hitting antimatter. And yet at the most subatomic particle, that's what we all have inside of us. Inside every atom. It goes back to string theory and the singularity. And where we learn about the alpha and the omega. Before me, there was nothing. And after me, there will be nothing. And here's where the science comes out. Who is God? And he is within every one of us. He is within everything that exists. Becoming one with that power and then learning how to use that power, that's where true manifestation comes into play. But most of us give up too soon. Say, oh, this doesn't work. Yeah, keep at it. Keep at it. You got to work. It takes work. It takes effort. But what happened is they repeated the experiment in 2013 to confirm their findings that, yeah, this is what we just did, and now we created more antimatter. And a very interesting thing happened. We got what is now commonly called the Mandela effect. And I'm not going to get into a long carried out explanation. We'll save that for another show. And Riscala, maybe you can join me on this show, or maybe I can join you on your show. We'll talk about the Mandela effect and the things that it created. But yeah, it created this rift in time. And that's the only way to explain it, because certain things changed. And one of the things that changed was Isaiah 11:6, where it says, where it used to say, and the lion shall lay with the lamb. I got a whole story about that too, but it doesn't anymore. And it says, the wolf shall lay with the lamb. And I think it was 2014 when I actually realized this. I was in a group of biblical scholars when that was read. They actually made reference to that, and they read that. And I poked my head up and I was like, wait a minute. And I looked at the verse, and I looked at it, and I'm looking around, and there's everybody else is paying attention to what's being read. And I'm like, am I the only one in this crowd that realizes that something changed here? And it did. But what we saw on the planet is that, interestingly enough, Nelson Mandela, I believe it was, June 26th, I believe, is when they, of 2013, for the second time, no, I'm sorry, he was on, well, some people remember him back when he was in prison, and that allegedly he died in prison, but now they announced his death the first time they did it in the news was he was on life support, and his family petitioned the judge to take him off life support, and they took him off life support, and he died. And it was announced around the world. I saw a news report. A lot of other people did too. But then all of a sudden, he didn't die. Oh, he's gotten better and he went home. I was like, yeah, come on. You guys are putting, you put him on ice. And so in 2013, it's something that I was really looking forward to. Now we're going to come back to Mandela in a minute, but we got to look at this. We were supposed to see Comet Ison. It would have made the Halley's Comet that we had over 100 years ago seem like a sideshow. It was supposed to be the greatest comet a civilization ever saw, which we never got to see. Why? Now, the interesting thing is that had Comet Ison survived, it would have perfectly aligned with Venus on December 16th, 2013. It would have looked like a giant exclamation point in the sky, and that would have represented the Mayan snake god returning. People would have seen that in the evening sky. I remember specifically Venus was beautiful on that day, in several days. And had Comet Ison survived, it would have been this, it would have looked like a giant exclamation point. Huh. Quetzalcoatl, come back to be with his people. Isn't that interesting? But what happened? We never saw that. That was destroyed as it came around the backside of the sun. And I watched this live. I was watching the live feeds out of whatever telescope that they were using. And as the comet comes around the backside, me and about a million other people, the servers were full. And as it's coming around the backside, there it is. And the guy who's announcing this, or whatever space official, I think he was part of NASA, was saying, there seems, first he says, oh, here it comes. As you start to see it crest, and he says, well, there seems to be a problem with Comet Ison. Yeah, the problem is that the coma was blowing perpendicular to the sun. The coma is always supposed to blow away from the sun. Except for a low comet, 3i Atlas. That's an interesting situation, but that's not this show. But I'm sure the YouTube, if you can find the YouTube videos of it, you can see that the coma of the comet is blowing perpendicular to the solar wind. That's impossible. As close as that comet was, so what force destroyed what we would have seen as Quetzalcoatl, and I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that, but the Mayan snake god coming back and blow the coma against a flowing stream of solar radiation? What force did that? The debris field was perfectly aligned with Venus in the evening sky on the 16th. But now here's the interesting thing. Okay, so we didn't get to see Comet Ison. What did we get to see? We got to see Nelson Mandela officially die December 5th, 2013. And they hold this 10-day funeral. It became controversial. Obama was there, and he's talking to the audience, and he's got a man who is supposed to be signing in sign language what he is saying. But this guy who is signing was found too insane to stand for first-degree murder. His partner was found insane enough to stand for first-degree murder, and he was convicted. This guy never served time in prison. He should have been put away or executed. How is he standing next to Obama? And the interesting thing is nobody knows what he's saying. No person who knows sign language. And I talked to somebody who was certified in American Sign Language. My mother. My grandparents were deaf. We communicated by hands. But there's a lot of facial features that go into that, and that's part of the beauty of sign language. It's interesting when you're in that community. But how did that guy get there, standing next to Obama, who was loved by the entire world? Remember, this is 2013, how he got that far, but I'm not sure. But pretty much everybody had enough of him by 2012. Let's not talk about that. But go look at the guest list at the Nelson Mandela ritual funeral, which lasted 10 days. Mandela was put in the ground on the 15th. We never saw Comet Ison align with Venus on the 16th. So the new Bakhtun did not start with the Mayan god. It started with the god from the pit of the abyss. And so here we are back to Revelation chapter 9, and it's the opening of the pit of the abyss. Now it's interesting what ascends out of this. This is going to be more interesting. We're not going to have, probably won't have time to talk about it tonight. But John says, and he opened the pit of the abyss, and smoke ascended out of the pit of the abyss as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun was darkened, also the air, by the smoke of the pit. And out of the smoke, locusts came forth, and upon the earth, and the authority was given to them, the same authority as scorpions of the earth have. And they were told to harm no vegetation of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree. Note this, but only those men who do not have the seal of God in their foreheads. And it was granted the locusts not to kill them, but that these should be tormented for 5 months. And the torment upon them was as the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. And in those days the men will seek death, but they will by no means find it. And they will keep desiring to die, but death keeps fleeing from them. Who are these men who do not have the seal of God in their foreheads? Ah. Now, the scorpions are pretty impressive. And so these are no ordinary scorpions. Hello, alien life forms. It says, in the likeness of the scorpions resembled horses prepared for battle. And upon their heads that were what seemed to be crowns like gold. And their faces were as men's faces. But they had hair as women's hair. And their teeth were as those of lions. And they had breastplates like iron breastplates, and the sound of their wings as the sound of chariots of many horses running into battle. And they also have tails and stings like scorpions, and in their tails is their authority to hurt the men 5 months. They have over them a king, the angel of the pit of the abyss. He is known as, in Hebrew, his name is Abaddon, but in Greek, he has the name Apollyon. When you go into Greek mythology, you find Apollyon is the destroying god. And you know, there's a altar to Apollyon within the ring of CERN. Within the ring or the valley, very close by, but I believe it's actually within the ring. It's been there for over 1,000 years. The destroying angel was released from the pit of the abyss. Okay, cool. Revelation chapter 17. Now, the king of the pit of the abyss, the king of the pit of the abyss, we're going to talk about him. In Revelation chapter 9, I'm sorry, from Revelation chapter 9 to Revelation 17. And let me tell you, if you don't know this already, and the reason why Revelation doesn't make sense to anybody is because it's not written in chronological order. It's not. It leaves off in as we when we talk about the wild beast that ascends out of the sea, who gets a death stroke, and then they build an image to the wild beast. Well, why do they build an image to the wild beast? Well, we find out in chapter 16 that his kingdom becomes darkened. We'll talk more about that later. But in Revelation chapter 17, he first talks about this woman. This woman who was arrayed, the woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored wild beast was, I got to back up a little bit more, sorry. He talks about this woman, a great prostitute, the great harlot, Babylon, which has a direct reference back to the city of Babel with Sariamus, who was Nimrod's wife, who had him put to death, and her profession was a prostitute. Anyway, we'll talk more about her, but tonight I want to focus more on the eighth king. It says in verse 5 of 17, it says, upon her forehead was written a name, a mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of the harlots and of the disgusting things of the earth. And I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of the holy ones and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. And so now this woman is sitting upon this scarlet-colored wild beast. And this scarlet-colored wild beast, he says, we're going to just back up verse 3. He says, and he carried me away to the power of the Spirit in the wilderness, and I caught sight of a woman sitting upon this scarlet-colored wild beast. This beast that she's sitting upon, in verse 8, John is told, the beast that you saw was, but is not, and yet is about to ascend out of the abyss. Well, we know that when the key of the pit of the abyss, when the key of the abyss opened it up, and we have this king of the pit of the abyss, this angel of the abyss, who is king of over these scorpions, aliens, certainly extraterrestrials who only sting the men who do not have the name of God in their foreheads. That's interesting. So who do they go after? The men who have the names of Cain or Satan in their foreheads? Think about it. Boy, there's more to that story. And that has to do with that leads into the Khazarian Mafia, which is the banking class, which is taking control of pretty much everything. It all goes, follow the money. Hello. But here's the interesting thing. So when was this beast first ruling? Well, we have to go back to the days of Enoch, when the watchers were thrown into this. The watchers were upon the earth. Now, who had control of the earth at this time? You see, as many people know, when Satan tempted Jesus, he offered him all of the kingdoms of the earth. What deal did he make with the watchers? Hey, you can start your own families. You can take over the earth. You know, I own it, but hey, you guys can rent it out for a certain price, an act of worship, perhaps. And so he baits them into aren't these Earth women beautiful? We created them. They're like our sisters, you know, and genetically engineering, and they think about it. And it's like, and you know, we could have this planet. You could have this planet for your offspring. You can create your own offspring. Wow. Angelic life forms creating their own offspring. And so those that what deal was made? And so after the pit of the abyss is open, does that deal have to be honored? Think about it. Because we're in a set of cosmic legalities of who has the right to rule this planet. That's why it matters. I don't care what kind of aliens you want to talk about. I don't care if you want to call them demons. I don't want to call it, hey, stars that fell from heaven is what the scripture says. Those are the high ranking. Who are their subjects? Yeah, things are going to get pretty alien before all this is over. Not this show, but before this earth is defeated. Where we are right now, though, is that I would imagine to have any kind of justice that the king of the pit of the abyss wants his property that he signed a deal for back. I don't care who's in this apartment building now. I want them out. I'm here. My boys are here. And we ain't playing. We ain't playing. And so as we learn about this a beast which is said, which was, but is not, and ascends out of the abyss. Huh, really? Can you put that into earthly terms? Yeah. The Trump presidency in 2016, the kingdom that was, and then was not. And at one time, it looked like Trump was going to be thrown into the pit of Rikers Island, into the abyss of Rikers Island. He was facing so much, he's never going to get to be president again. Wrong. 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 Because we know this by who is behind what's going on. And so where we are now, think about this. The world up to this point has been ruled by beast number 7, the Anglo-American dual world power beast. And the United States has been controlled by England, both governmentally, legally, hello, the Bar Association, and throughout land compacts that were the original one, I believe, was the Virginia Land Compact, where the crown was supposed to receive 10% of the profits made in America annually in perpetuity. You know where your tax dollars go? Go research the Virginia Compact. They go to the crown. Think about that for a second. Why do you think Trump went over there? He had what he needed to go over there and walk in front of the Queen to go review his troops in 2018, was it? To go review his troops. And then when he went back this last time, he rode in the Royal Castle. He went back as a king. He stayed in the Windsor Castle. And by the way, no other person who has not been royalty has ever ridden in those carriages. And again, with King Charles, he reviewed his troops with Charles in the background, following like a whipped puppy. Low central casting, it may not even been Charles, who knows, who cares. But we know what we saw. And that was on the news, the world news, the mainstream media, plus pretty much everybody else, you know, in the alternative media, where we saw Trump do that. Yeah. We saw him do the sword dance in Saudi Arabia, the king. We saw that. That was the first time he was there. And now when he went back, the king returned. The king of the pit of the abyss, which returns. And it's interesting because what happens is that with this king, the world is taken with this king. It says, and I'll continue reading here. It says, in the seven kings, five have fallen. One is, the other has not yet arrived, but when it does, it must arrive a short while. And the beast that was, but is not, it itself is also an ace king. But it springs from the seven. Think about that. It's the ace, it's an ace king, which springs from the seven. And the ten horns that you saw mean ten kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but they do receive authority of kings as kings 1 hour with the beast. And these have one thought, so they give their power and authority to the wild beast. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Revelation 17, 15. And he says to me, and the waters that you saw where the harlot is sitting means peoples and crowds and nations and tongues. And the ten horns that you saw and the wild beast, these will hate the harlot. But notice this, before I go on, she controls the waters. Did you know that the Vatican controls all shipping on the planet? Yeah, she controls the waters. If it wasn't for the Holy Roman Catholic Church, there would have been no kings in Europe. Rome couldn't conquer Germania. Couldn't conquer them, but the Church went in and converted them and gave them kingdoms. The first king of Europe was the German. We know the line as Coburn Saxe Gotha. Oh, got that close. And that was where the Windsors were from, that line. They were appointed as king over England or over the actually, it's just not England. The crown owns 24% of the Earth's land mass. Think about that. Think about that. That the city of London, which is where the banking, the banksters are headquartered, finance it all. And it's tied right back in to the Vatican, where you have the Jesuits, who are essentially not just the Jesuits, but you also have, and here's where you can really see the control. With the Jesuit order, you also have the Knights Order, the Knights of Malta. You know, since I believe Ronald Reagan, including Ronald Reagan, every president of the United States was also a Knight of Malta, except for Obama, who had a letter of recommendation from the Knights of Malta. So, okay. Not sure exactly what that means. The only other president that didn't, besides No Biden, I'm actually not sure if he was a Knight of Malta while he was alive or not, but Trump wasn't. Trump wasn't even one of the cousins. The only other president that wasn't a cousin to all the other presidents was Martin Van Buren. Martin Van Buren and Trump. Everybody else was a cousin. They're cousins, and they're all related back to, guess where? King John. And Charlemagne, King John of England. King John the First, I guess, first or second. But yeah, that's where the lineage gets all. And it was a 12-year-old girl traced that back as a school project, working out your family tree. So Trump upset the apple cart here. They were going to let Obama slide, but Trump upset the apple cart. Somebody better do something about this or we'll all hang, so the quote goes. To quote one of the former presidents, if the public ever finds out what we've done, they'll hang us from the lampposts. And they may yet be coming. Because after we have this eighth king, which has formed, what does this king do? It hates the I'll pick it back up. In the 10 horns you saw and the wild beast, these will hate the harlot, and they will make her devastated and naked, and will eat up her fleshy parts, and will completely burn her with fire. For God put it into their hearts to carry out his thought, even to carry out their one thought by giving their kingdom to the wild beast until the words of God will have been accomplished. And in Butler, Pennsylvania, a shot rang out and a presidential candidate grabbed his ear and fell down to the floor and then was hurried off the stage as his other gunshots continued to ring out. Well, and Donald Trump was struck in the ear. He was grazed. And he said it was the hand of God. And then he said, I'm here to do God's will. I'm on a mission from God. To do what? Bring child trafficking to an end? And I take you back to his first administration. I forget the executive order number, but he wrote it, I believe, on the 20th of December, 2017. That deals with human rights violations and conspiracy, which human rights violations was centered on human trafficking and mostly looking at child trafficking. Not just it was encompassed in human trafficking, but it was broken out. And human slave trade. Where do, was it 80,000, I'm sorry, 800,000 children disappear to from the United States every year? At least that's what the statistic was. I think we talked about this previously. Biden brought they lost track of 300,000 immigrant children when they came across the border under the Biden administration. Tom Homan said, oh, well, we found 60,000 of them. Good. Keep looking. Look at the work of Kevin Arnett and what happened with the indigenous tribes of Canada and the schools run by the Catholic Church. Yeah, lawsuits came out of that because it was basically a massacre of children. And so when you look deeper into it, there was an incident in Spain. Over 300,000 infants, newborns, were trafficked in Spain. And their mothers were told that they died on birth and the body was disposed of. That came out a few years ago. 300,000 children, infants, trafficked by the church. And when we find out and look at it closely, the church actually supports 20,000, well, when I did my research, supports 20, that's about 10 years ago, they supported a little over 20,000 orphanages around the world. the constant supply of kids going on. For what reason? Human slavery and the drug trade are the two most money-making schemes on this planet. And the Vatican is dirty on both accounts. So are the banksters. So are a lot of the politicians. Oh, we're going to find out how badly embedded this is. And so we're not going to, when will we see this? We're going to see, well, it may have already started to happen. One of my favorite pictures ever is Trump. When him and Melania went to the Vatican, standing next to Pope Francis. And Trump is just smiling like the Cheshire cat that ate the canary. And the Pope just looks like he had his canary eaten. Very long, sorrowful face. And Trump is just smiling. Think about that. So what were we actually seeing here? What were we actually seeing? Now, it's been rumored that over 600 plane loads of gold have been flown out from under the Vatican. And that there's a tunnel system. We know that this tunnel system's all over the place. That's not my expertise. People that know a lot more about the tunnel systems than I do. Deep underground military bases. You know, there's a lot of movies that you can make reference to, which are probably close to the truth. Hey, look at Star Wars. What did Star Wars do for us? Let the Force be with you. What Force? The Force which is in all of us. Are we going to use that for good or bad? That tiny little God particle that is in every atom. Think about it. Boy, there's so much we don't know. Yet, you know, we believe that we're physical beings and trying to have a spiritual reality. The fact is we're spiritual beings having a physical reality. Yeah, we get to do that. But we're really spiritual beings. Our consciousness is, anyway. And that's the part that we need to control, is our consciousness. Because all of this is coming about. And so there we kind of sum up the four beasts of Revelation and what is happening. And now we can start to put pieces together. You have to know your history. This takes years of study and education and learning and then knowing how to apply the scriptures. But it doesn't take me years and years and years to explain it. This is literally well over 60 years of both biblical and scientific education. Yeah, I did a bunch of other things in between. But it's here and now that matters. It matters to all of us as individuals and as a hive mind collective. Yeah, hive mind collectives. What do you mean? When we are in theta, when we are in the state of theta, the conscious state of theta, we can actually know each other's thoughts. Not know what each other's thinking. Beyond that, know each other's memories. Why? Because we have that insight. But how much time do we spend consciously at theta? About 99.999% of the time I'm at theta, I'm dreaming about something or other. I'm not in this dimension anymore. I'm off in a totally different dimension. Sometimes things get weird. Sometimes they're quite confusing. And sometimes they let me know what I need to do. And so, you know, we're only stuck in the third dimension physically. Our consciousness can go anywhere. But unfortunately, most of the time we're sleeping. What's really good is if you daydream. And we'll cover that in another, you know, most people say, and I've said it myself, that the Bible tells you to pray and meditate on God's word. But it doesn't teach you to meditate. Jesus is basically the only one who said, when you pray, pray this way. And we'll cover that. But in a nutshell, we're not going to cover it tonight. We're running out of time here. But in a nutshell, when you go into a state of prayer, you definitely leave the beta mind and you go into alpha, where your body is more relaxed, where we're still conscious of outside noises, but we're focused on what we are thinking about. If you're daydreaming, you know, you sit back and you're thinking of, oh man, it's been a hard day. I really want to go home and just sit back. Well, this time of the year, it might be sit back in the easy chair across from the fireplace and have a hot chocolate or something a little bit more potent. We could daydream about that. How many of us were going on vacation somewhere? And you know, you're looking online and saying, oh, wow, I'd really like to go there. And, oh, it's, you know, down in the Caribbean and oh, it's a beautiful beach and oh, the palm trees and oh, look how nice that resort is. And, you know, I can smell the salt there. Hand me a pina colada. I'm good to go. Yeah, think about it. We'll spend time daydreaming. I went down to the islands lots of times, mostly scuba diving. You know what I would be thinking about on the way down? Scuba diving. Yeah. Mentally going over what I had to go over, what things am I going to see? Okay, well, I've been here before. I really want to check this out. I want to see that. Really beautiful. See what new critters are around. And a lot of times it was a whole new adventure, and that's how life should be. And it's an adventure that we create. Think about that, an adventure that we create. The issue is that because we don't necessarily put enough thought into it, the adventure that we create much maybe more than the adventure that we wanted to, and how badly we are affected by outside forces. You know, you may want to go on a cruise, and then all of a sudden, you hurricane. You got a few rough days at sea. I'm going to guarantee you. You may not feel very well after the first few hours, let alone a couple of days. Heave ho. So with that, I hope I've been able to educate some folks and touch all of your lives in a very positive way. And thank you most of all for joining us tonight. And please share this information with others. Hit the like button so we know, hey, you listened and you liked what we said. Leave a comment on the show. And listen to the other shows that the network is putting together. Tomorrow night, you've got the Positude podcast with Maggie Hart, and then Rascal Stephen's show, Red Pill Reality, on Saturday at 9, and a host of other shows. And I swear I'm going to get a list yet so I can go down them all. Money and Change with Stu Scheer. So that and then Michael Bejas also has his football show. You got to have the sports in there. You got to have the sports, especially if you're a college football fan. And so with that, share us. Join the network, please. It'll help our numbers go up. And yes, I am asking, please. And that's all I ask. You know, I might ask you to make a donation to the network later on, but right now, all I'm asking is to share the content. Because the content is more important. The content can change lives. And you'll find that out as we continue on this trail in these last days of revelation. Yeah. It's not the beginning of Revelation. The beginning of Revelation happened 100 years ago, more than 100 years ago, when war breaks out in heaven. It actually starts with the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos. But there are things that are said to John that he recorded. You know, the letters to the congregations. The congregations at that time were being controlled or being irritated by those from the synagogue of Satan. That synagogue of Satan hasn't gone away. And we are still fighting it today. And so with that, we have to be just about at the end of our show. I want to thank everybody for joining us. And yes, please hit the like button, share us, and leave a comment if you choose. With that, I'm going to say love and blessings to all. Have a fantastic night.